to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for December 31st, 2023, the first Sunday after Christmas Day, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Well, it's that time of year again when many of us make New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you, but I'm batting about 100 on my New Year's resolutions over the years. Every year, I'm going to lose weight and exercise more. I'm going to get my finances in order. I'm going to learn a new language. All these wonderful resolutions. And I think for many of the resolutions, the hope is that by the end of the year, I'll be a better person than I feel like I am at the beginning of the year. I want to be transformed somehow through these different self-help efforts, through these resolutions. But each year, I come to the end of the year and I'm pretty much still me, despite my best efforts. Resolutions are fun. I think they can be motivating, and all of the things that we pick are good things, right? We don't have a resolution, I'm going to be a real SOB this year. Nobody really says that. So we hope that we'll be better, but what really leads to transformation? What actually helps us? Well, our scriptures today give us some very helpful clues about what it really takes to be transformed and become a new person. I've told this story here many times. I'm sorry if I'm boring you with it, but whenever we come to a scripture that talks about adoption, I have to talk about it a little bit. So I have a very personal story about adoption. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians and his letter to the Romans, talks about Christian life as being adopted into the family of God. Well, for me, that's very personal. It always speaks deeply to me because when I was about 3 weeks old, I was adopted. My mom and dad chose me and made me part of their family. I had a birth certificate with a name on it, and then I got a new birth certificate with a new name on it. I was given a new name, my name that I bear, and made part of their family, not only a son, but an heir, full part of their family, loved and supported all of my life. And that truly transformed my life. But unlike a lot of adopted people, thanks to the miracle of DNA and Ancestry.com, later in life, after both my adopted parents had died, I got to meet my birth mother. She called and we got to know each other and have become really wonderful friends. And in fact, I've had the interesting experience of being, in a way, re-adopted into her family to get to know my half-sisters and many, many, many relatives in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. I'm probably related somehow to everybody in the Shenandoah Valley, it sounds like, over time. But that has been a remarkable and transforming experience to be readopted in that way, almost to receive a new identity. A Southerner? Really? Go figure. St. Paul uses the metaphor of adoption to help us understand what happens to us when we are adopted into God's family through the sacrament of baptism. You know, it's a very simple and humble service. I'm sure you've all seen it. We take a baby or perhaps a young person or sometimes even an adult and we sprinkle some water on their head and we say the words that they're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In some traditions, you get a new name, a baptism name, a christening is what it used to be called, to mark this transformation that you are a new person now, adopted officially into God's family. It's not that God didn't love you before, but this ritual, this rite, has made you officially part of God's family, which is the church. It is always to be a moving ceremony. I think it is for many of you too, to watch and participate that. And every time we do that, we reaffirm our own baptismal covenant, reaffirm our identity as God's people. And I want to tell you that is more important than any New Year's resolution. To be grounded in our identity as God's children is what is truly transforming. And we spend the rest of our lives trying to understand and live into what that means. What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to receive power? In John's gospel, he tells us that in Jesus, we were being, those who believe in his name, right? The name of Jesus. Remember, Jesus' name was important too. He was prophesied by the angel. He should be called Jesus or Emmanuel. There's different traditions. He was either going to be Jesus or Emmanuel. I guess Mary and Joseph had to make a decision when it came to his naming day, which was tomorrow, the Feast of the Holy Name, eighth day. He was circumcised and officially named, transformed in that way, and given the name of Jesus, Savior, right? To those of us who believe in his name, we receive power to become the children of God. That's what's being conferred on us when we're baptized. That's what's being renewed in us when we come to church and are reminded through the scripture and the sacrament of who we are. We are children of God whether or not we lose weight this year. Beloved of God, no matter what the scale says, beloved of God, whether or not we have improved ourselves in some measurable way over the year, right? All that is good, but sometimes it prevents us from really knowing how beloved we are as God's children, adopted into God's family, loved just the way we are. Yes, called to grow in grace. Yes, called to grow in our sense of what that means and to live lives that reflect the image and love and glory of God. Because that's my resolution this year. I got stuff I want to accomplish, but my real resolution is that this year, maybe, I can really come to terms with what it means to be God's beloved child, that I can really accept that God adopted me into God's family, and that I can reflect that love more and more deeply in every situation in which I find myself. That's my resolution, to know who I am in good times and in bad, in times when I'm joyful and in times when I'm grieving. I'm sure I will say this again on Wednesday, but when I was visiting Kathy Garman, whose funeral is Wednesday, in the hospital before the tragic accident, which actually ended her life, when she was grappling with cancer treatment and having a lot of health challenges, she looked at me and with the most radiant peace and grace, she said, "You know that I am in God's hands." And you could tell that that was deeply true for her. This diagnosis could not shake her faith in God, could not disrupt her sense of her belovedness by God, and her unshakable faith has been an incredible gift to me and to all her family and friends as well. It's what I pray for us, for me and for you, that we could have that same assurance that we are held closely in God's hands, that God has claimed us and named us and loved us and invites us simply to know that wonderful good news and to share it however we are able. Amen.